Please be seated. What is it about this gospel passage that grabs you? What makes you ponder? Is it the miracle of the fish? Is it Simon Peter falling on his knees and claiming to be a sinner? Is it the call of Jesus to James, John, and Simon? It could be these as well as others. As we were discussing this passage this past Monday at the morning Bible study led by Father Bob, it occurred to me as if for the very first time, it was for me a reminder. A reminder that Jesus does not only come to us in the big and bodacious, in the miraculous and the amazing. The reality is that Jesus comes to us most of the time in the normalcy of our daily lives. At the office, on the street, at the dinner table, maybe on the garbage route. The truth is, Jesus comes to us in our normalcy, just like he did to Peter, James, and John in their own environment, where they felt the most comfortable. On the lake, fishing, Jesus came. And that's where Jesus comes to us, in the normalcy of our lives. The question for us is, will we notice? Will we affirm it? Will we accept it? Or will we run away? Or will we grab it and let Jesus change our lives? For me, I have always thought of the challenges of my Christian journey to be one of relationships and the battle between scarcity and abundance. And it just so happens that we have both of these in our story today. Peter, James, and John had not met Jesus before this day. They were just minding their own business out on the water, fishing all night, and not a thing to show for their work. And along comes this itinerant preacher, who I'm sure they had probably heard about. And he asks them to participate in ministry with him. He asks if he can use their boats as a platform for teaching. And what are they to say? Maybe the real question is, what would we say or do? Well, you can answer that for yourselves later. For you see, today, Jesus wants a relationship with Peter, James, and John. And before noonday, their relationship will blossom into a full-fledged relationship of three men giving up their entire lives for this Jesus. Relationship desired, relationship formed. And no one will ever be the same again. Now, just before their relationship formed, we have the miracle of the fish, and hence another living example of our Lord to reflect on our weak humanity and our battle with abundance versus scarcity. You know, it's something all of us battle. It seems like many of us, maybe all of us, want it, we covet it, we crave it, we desire it. And what is that? More. Christ comes to us every day in our own lives, in Christ's own way, and reminds us that he is with us, walking beside us. He is our abundance, and he is enough. All we need do is to just reach out and take his hand and trust him. Christ's abundance is always present, always purposeful, always what we need. With Christ, there is no such thing as scarcity. As I spoke about last week, Our politics is, at its most basic form, about how we get along, how we treat one another, how we do relationships. There is a movie out now called The Green Book, and in it, we are invited into a journey, into the lives of the two lead characters, Tony Vallelonga and Don Shirley. You see, Tony, who is a temporarily unemployed New York City nightclub bouncer of Italian descent, and Don, an African-American concert pianist thought of as one of the finest piano players in the world, embark on a concert tour of the South where Tony is Don's chauffeur. As you can imagine, they get caught up in many cultural exchanges and discriminatory attitudes that affect them both deeply. In fact, the title of the movie comes from a Jim Crow era booklet that provided African Americans with information that allowed them safe access to hotels, restaurants, automotive garages, and the like. Although on the surface they seem far apart from one another, they soon discover that they have more in common than what separates them. Through the willingness of both Tony and Don, they willingly enter into each other's history, context, and lives, and come to understand one another and build a new, powerful, lifelong relationship. Tony and Don could have stayed safe, existing in their own little worlds, but they decided to do something different. Fear would not win. Responding to God's call to do something that scares us is exactly that: scary. However, what God asks of us is not usually some simple, easy thing that isn't that scary. Instead, it is a fear of change on a more personal level, a change of will, an attitude of openness to change one's heart, a change of perception toward another. In my experience, I have discovered that most people would rather have a 40-foot wave of water come down on them or be shot up into the sky without a parachute than make such a change. But if we stop for a moment and breathe in God's abundance, we notice that deep down inside, what God is asking of us is the right thing to do. When we respond to God's call, we always grow as a person. For fear paralyzes us. It motivates us to maintain the status quo and to resist growing into who God is calling us to be. Fear is what made Saul of Tarsus, before he was known as Paul, to persecute the Christians. Fear is what makes us believe we are not worthy of being loved by others, by ourselves, and by God. Fear casts out reason. Fear lacks God's imagination of wonder for the future. Fear keeps us from building new and deepening our relationships. It keeps us seeing our lives through a lens of scarcity. Fear could have kept Tony and Don from making a new friend and transforming people along their journey. Fear tells us it will keep us safe. But it does not tell the whole story. You see, it traps us and makes us unable to experience the freedom Jesus offers. Yet this is where God finds us. Just like Jesus found Simon Peter in his boat and Paul on the road to Damascus, God comes to us where we are and asks us to do something that seems unthinkable, laughable, bizarre, or just plain scary. There's a line from the movie Junebug, where Amy Adams' character says to her not-so-great husband, "God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way." We can stay the way we are, but that goes against our baptismal covenant and living a transformational life of faith with Jesus. With Jesus meeting us where we are, we have a wonderful opportunity to experience God's abundant grace. You see, we don't have to be perfect in order for God to want to be in relationship with us. We just have to be willing to drop our own baggage around deepening our relationships and looking at the world through a lens of scarcity. All we need do is follow, like Peter, James, and John, when they brought their boats to the shore, overflowing with fish.